If you're looking for the skills and tools to succeed in real estate investing, you've come to the right place. This show is about breaking through barriers, breaking through limiting beliefs, and breaking through to the life that you want to live through the power of real estate investing. You're listening to the Breakthrough Real Estate Investing Podcast. And now, here are your hosts, Rob Brake and Quentin D'Souza.
Good morning. Welcome, everybody. Thanks for joining us. It's a little bit different today. It's just Quentin D'Souza and I today, awesome. Rob Brake. I don't often introduce myself.
Oh, so I'll introduce Rob. I've known Rob for probably over a decade. You know, we met probably because he was posting ads on some sort of post for wholesaling way back in, a long time ago.
And it was a long time ago.
We connected, networked together, you know, we were in Durham REI together, and, you know, he's improved his life significantly by moving to Costa Rica and, you know, doing a really big move with his family. We're going to talk about that today, and we're going to talk about his big project, the Monterey Lodge in Costa Rica. So first of all, Rob, let's do a little bit of a deep dive. How did you get it started in real estate investing?
It's weird being interviewed on our show. So what happened was I had a very, I think, very normal upbringing for where I grew up. I grew up mostly in Gravenhurst, Ontario. Born in Orillia, Ontario. And I had very standard jobs. I worked in a donut shop. I worked at a burger place. I worked at a gas station, printing press, a bunch of just regular jobs. And then I started working at a cat rental company. So I was driving all day long. Mm-hmm. As much as freeing as that job was, I actually really liked that job. I was just delivering construction equipment all day, going to different job sites, and a lot of times, you know, pulling dead machines off of lots and things like that, right?
Okay.
Where I had to use some of your head and also some of your brawn. But at the same time, I was always looking for something else, some other way to have a little bit more freedom. I think it's always been about freedom for me, right? Like time freedom has always been the thing that's driven everything that I've done. So at that job, I was working at least 12 hours a day, usually. And then with the commute, I was usually gone 14 hours, if not more, every day. So it's quite a long day of not seeing your family. And when my first son was born, I really started to try and kick into finding something else to do. So I was looking at starting my own business and that kind of thing. Just lawn service, something really easy, with the zero barrier of entry, pretty much, right? If you got a lawnmower, you can go and start a business that way.
Like manual labor type stuff.
Yeah. But my wife was also how are you going to do this? You're not going to go work 14 hours or be gone 14 hours a day and then go and do this.
Right.
So anyway, I really had, obviously everybody else, you watch shows about people flipping houses. That was sort of where the passion started with real estate. I was I want to do that too. Let's learn about it. I've got 12 hours a day in a truck. Let's learn about how to do this. So I found a podcast called Flip to Freedom.
Right.
Right. But it's not about flipping houses.
Okay.
It's about flipping purchase contracts. That's what the show was about. And this guy named Sean Terry is out of Arizona.
Right.
I remember it was step by step by step exactly what to do to start wholesaling. Right. So I listened to one show, and he would say, okay, go buy bandit signs, go buy, Coroplast signs, right? Sell your house for cash and your phone number on it and go put them out, And so it's almost you don't even know what you're going to do next. You go do that step. And then come back and listen to the next one. It was almost like that. I had a little bit more info before I started, but basically it was do this. And actually, before I actually started, Quentin, Or maybe not, because
What
no,
year
I
was
think,
this? What
oh
year was this?
man, I think it was 2010 or
2010. Okay.
no, maybe 2011, somewhere around there. I
Okay.
think 2011, but that was the start of it, and you validated it because I remember looking for more local information. It said, like, can you wholesale houses in Canada? And you wrote, yes, you can. And I'm like, great, someone to validate it here, because it was all American info that I was getting. And you
Right.
know, they tell you different ways of drumming up leads for that kind of stuff too, but it's not really anything that works here. It's
That's right.
like,
Yeah, it's a
yeah.
different market, a different type of clientele, different mindset, right?
It was. So I worked really hard at that, and I started getting some traction. I started to actually flip contracts to people, right? And so for, I mean, just real quickly for those of you that don't understand that, it's just getting a property under contract, getting a purchase and sale agreement on it, and then taking that purchase and sale agreement and selling it to Quinton for $5,000 or $10,000. Wholesalers have gotten really greedy lately. Like,
Oh, they're making like 50,000, 100,000 is on some of their contracts. I mean, I work out at a gym, and a friend of mine who is a wholesaler is in the same gym, and sometimes I hear about that, and I'm just amazed at the amount of, like, I mean, they're making probably the same amount of money as the person who's actually flipping the property.
oh,
So
most times more.
and they
So
can
it's
be,
sometimes more. And they're not,
sometimes.
and you know what? All they've done is find someone else the opportunity to do what they want to do.
Right.
So it's not like they're not adding value, that's for
No.
sure.
Yeah. And it
But I
goes to show you
really,
how important finding the right deal is
yeah.
to be able to work. And it's not just pulling it off the MLS and being able to flip a property and make money. It doesn't often work that way. But sorry, we're going off track here a little
Oh,
bit.
that's okay.
So you've got the signs up, and then you're discovering that you can actually do this in Canada.
Right. And so
What
there's
do you
little
start doing?
nuances of, pardon
Yeah.
me?
And then what do you start doing?
Well, I mean, it wasn't just off signs, right? Like, I mean, I don't know. We're not trying to get into a whole how do you do
No.
things, but
But for you, what was the next step? How did you move
well, I
from
think the first thing was the validation, right? The validation that it worked. So selling that first contract was huge. And because I had no money, right? Like, you have to understand, like, literally no money. No money in the bank, you know, just week to week.
Right.
And so when you realize you can do this, it unlocks. Like, my mind just went crazy. So then eventually, you know, you get some credibility, and then people start to appreciate what you're doing. I started being able to sell a lot more. So I did pretty well in a couple in the 2 years that I did it. I only did it for 2 years, because after that I had Michael Dominguez come to me, one of the realtors in our area, and say, you know, I'm starting a team. I want you to work for it with me. And
Right.
so that
But
was
how,
the,
okay. For those 2 years, how much do you think you made, like ballpark?
Oh, I don't know. I'm gonna say, like, it wasn't enough to quit my job because I was still working, right? So I had to do it at the same time. But let's just say,
Let's say you had, let's say you're flipping
like 150,
contracts
probably 150,000.
per year
No, 150,000 for the
over
2 years.
for the two
Yeah, I would
years.
say, like, again, I wanted to make it work, right? And
Right.
like, there wasn't that many people doing it back then.
No, you're right.
And
Yeah. Yeah.
so all I was trying to do was validate it, make it work, and make it something that I could continue doing. So I really didn't get greedy.
And then
And then,
you met Michael, and then you started doing the realtor thing, right?
well, I had a couple rental properties before I started with him too, right?
Okay.
So, like, even when I started, yeah, when I started wholesaling, I did have a rental property. I already had one.
Okay.
But yeah.
So you got into the realtor space, and you're still a realtor today. So what was that, 2013?
Think so. Yeah.
So that would be about 2013, and that's probably when I quit my job, and I had been doing Durham REI for 5 years. So we probably met in 2011, and you saw me quit my job and focus on real estate full time. Because I remember you were a wholesaler while we were talking together and working with each other, and then you became a realtor after that. So as a realtor then, how did you do in your first year of realtor versus being a wholesaler?
I at least doubled my salary in the first year,
Wow,
but it was a good
amazing.
time to get into it, right? And I also had ins with people who were look like who were real estate investors, right? And I also knew what I was doing right when I started, as far as finding investment properties. So, I mean, I'm going to say at least in my first year, I probably only sold exclusively with investors, right? Like I'm really bad at, I can show you where to find the value as a rental, and especially when most people were looking for something they could add a basement suite to, because I could bring them to the right properties there, and that's
Made it
value
easy.
to the clients as well. But as far as where the sun sets in the backyard and who's going to get what room, little Jimmy and whoever, I can't do that. It's just not for me. I will do it. Don't get me wrong.
But it's not what you're really good at, right? So you've been you're doing the realtor thing with investors, and are you still building your real estate portfolio at the same time? What are you doing, in the background while you're working with realtors?
Yeah, definitely. I would say I got a property a year, probably a property a year.
Okay, were you working with partners or were
Oh
you
yeah.
just yourself? How did you build your portfolio?
Well, again, like just because I was able to sell a couple of wholesale deals, it would be gone as soon as I got it, pretty much, Like you're digging yourself out of credit card debt and stuff like that. So that money really wasn't anything that was able to change my life at all. So I was always working with partners. Again, like the credibility is the most important thing. That's why you got to make sure that you're honest and straightforward and always do what you say you're going to do with all your partners. And that's like one of the biggest lessons that I've learned, because I could find a partner right now for a project, if I, when I need one, like we're going to talk about the hotel. It wasn't hard for me to find a partner for that. And the build that we did here in Costa Rica, and pretty much every property that I bought was all with partners.
So you were doing that the whole time you were as a realtor and as an investor. Let's say we get to before you left to Costa Rica and you made that change. What did your portfolio look like, and what were your income sources like before you left from Costa Rica? Well, when did you say, when did, was it like 2021 that you left to Costa
Yeah,
Rica?
yeah.
So let's take you back 2020 before, all the craziness.
Well,
Not 20.
2020 was when it started.
So let's say 2019 then.
Okay.
So 2019, describe what your real estate portfolio was like back then, 5 years ago. And also like what your income sources were like, because it's very different today. And I think people would be interested to hear how you were able to make that transition.
Well, I did do very well as a realtor, right? Like I find that I provided a good value to people, and I had like every year was better than the one before as a realtor there before. And 2020 was my best year before I left.
So 2020 was your best
So
year.
that was drastically life-changing, because like I at least quadrupled, definitely probably much more than that, my salary from when I was working, with Cat Rental. I was making really good money.
What did your
So
real estate portfolio look like at the
the
time?
10 properties,
Probably about 10. Okay.
10 properties.
What
I
type of
had
properties were they?
most of them are duplexes, but I have a triplex and two student rentals, and the student rentals are they're 18 doors between the two of them, And they're legal, 100% legal, registered with the city of Peterborough. That's where both of my student rental properties are. So those are the big ones. Those are the ones that do the best.
Okay.
And I've sold quite a few of them since I moved here, just because, like, with the interest rates the way they were, a lot of them weren't making any money anymore.
Okay, before we jump to that point. Now, like in 2020, you had your best year ever. So you were doing really well from your income side. And then what drove you in 2021 to want to change that? Because that's huge. If you've, you know, tripled or quadrupled your income, and then 2021 comes and you say, all right, that's it. I'm done. I want to, you know, what led you down to that path?
Well, there's a million things, right? I think that I was already looking into different places and listening to podcasts has always been like one of my favorite sources of information. Mm-hmm. But so I listened to a lot of podcasts on people that have moved to Panama and were able to, you know, transition their life without too much disruption, I guess, as little as possible with a move like that. So that was one of the places we considered originally. And then I never even went to Panama, actually, though. We ended up just coming to Costa Rica. But a lot of it was more a plan to just escape, not escape, but somewhere to go through the winter for like 6 months.
Yeah.
Right. That was the plan originally.
So in 2020, you were just going to go for 6 months. And so what did you do to kind of prepare to leave for 6 months at that time?
Well, I wasn't leaving for 6 months at that point in time. Like, I was still just looking for a place where we could go and do that. Right. Okay. So in 2020, we ended up being here for 3 months though.
Okay.
So we traveled the country.
Ah, so you explored different parts of Costa Rica?
Oh yeah, definitely. Okay. All right. Yeah. I haven't been like super far south, but I've been to Quetzaltenango, which is the furthest south that we've been. So,
okay.
But we did a lot of exploring, and quite honestly, that was more just where do you want to buy a possible rental property?
And this was with just with Jen, or with you, Jen, and the kids?
Oh, with all of us.
All of you. Okay. All right. So you're all exploring.
Quentin, I never went on a vacation before my kids were born, like on a plane.
Right. Okay.
And they've been on every single one that we've ever been on.
Oh, very cool.
My kids are always with me.
Yeah. Awesome. So now you've explored for 3 months and travel with Jen and the kids. And this was during the whole vid issue. And so everybody else was locked down and you're traveling all over the place. I'm thinking.
This is traveling within one country.
Within one country. No, but I'm just trying to get a picture for people, right? Yeah. And now you've traveled for 3 months, and what happened? What happened next?
I was looking for places here, right? Okay. So it did turn into that over that time, like, because I mean, it made me reconsider a lot of things when they canceled our flight home, got canceled.
Right.
So we ended up having to scramble and try and find something else here to stay at and figure out what to do.
Right.
So that kind of made me, you know, start thinking a little bit more about staying here.
Right.
And then like, honestly, finding where we live right now, Potrero is an amazing community. It's like nothing else that I've ever seen. And that's really what prompted us to say, okay, I think that we could actually move here and live here, because the community, the education that's available for the kids in this area, there's like 7 international schools right around here.
Right.
And I never considered moving to any of the places until we came here. It was just a feeling you get.
So
that was the real driver for the actual move to stay here.
Okay. And so you bought a place in Potrero right away?
We rented here for about 2 months, and then I started looking, yeah.
Okay. And then you ended up buying down there after that. Like, what did you do after you've rented for 2 months?
We went back in March. And I actually, the agent that I was working with here at the time, he sent me a property while we were in Canada. And I knew exactly where it was, what it was. I liked the price, so I bought it from Canada.
Okay. And what kind of financing did you get on it, or was it cash purchase?
It was a cash purchase. I wanted to just to have the experience. We did a VTB for 50% of it.
Right.
So we were able to do that. There's a lot of sellers here that will do or seller financing.
And what was the VTB at the time? Do you remember?
Yeah, it was 5% for 2 years. We have 50%.
Interest only?
Interest only, yeah.
Okay. And then, well, I'm assuming that 2 years passed and you own that property.
Yeah.
And you're 2 years into being in Costa Rica. What did you end up doing?
Well, I worked for Crane Luxury Real Estate. So we came back in like June and I started with Crane right away. Okay. So in August, I think. Right. So that was pretty good. And the first year or so I had some traction and a lot of the people that I reached through the podcast and through past clients, they were interested, and I did a little bit of business through existing clientele. But Crane's pretty good too, so they do have lead distribution.
Right.
So some of my leads came from there too, and yeah, for the last like 3.5 years, I've been with them, and doing okay. It's definitely different because it's so secular, you know.
Okay.
It's like right now, it's like the beginning of December and we're coming into high season. So people you start to see people around again. For the last few months, it's very rainy here, October,
floods
November,
and,
very rainy. Yeah. Flooding. We got some pretty bad flooding this year.
Yeah. But I remember seeing your pictures. Yeah.
But yeah, I've sent you some of the pictures that were in the chat groups, and like even my friend's boat sank from the rain.
That's something you don't hear very often. Yeah.
Yeah. That was the worst that I've seen.
All right. But so 3.5 years now in Costa Rica, mm-hmm. and, you know, and working for Crane, how has your, now I know that, I don't know what you want to kind of disclose, but how has your income changed from where you were to where you are now? And has it affected your lifestyle?
Absolutely. It's changed drastically.
Okay. So like maybe explain that to people, because sometimes people I find are so caught up, especially where we are in North America, caught up with the day-to-day grind of trying to compete with other people. And, you know, it's about like, it's hard to kind of get by even when you're making good money sometimes because of all the grocery prices and accommodation prices, you know, your cars, your, you know, all of that sort of stuff. So maybe you can describe kind of like the change in lifestyle and income anyways.
Well, it was a true downsize.
Okay.
So my house was almost 3,000 square feet in Canada.
Okay.
You know, right in around there. And this one, I mean, I don't even know, it's like 1200 square feet, probably, this house.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, it's a 3-bedroom house, but it's pretty small. Of course, you do a lot of your living outside.
Right.
Right. And the weather's beautiful the majority of the time. So you're not spending your time in the house, but that is one of the big things that was hard to get used to. My kids would always say, why do we like, when they're great now, I think they've really adapted and they love it here. And they did right from the beginning too, but I remember my kids saying, you know, why do we have such a small house now? You know?
Right. Okay.
Can we have our big house back? Why do we gotta, you know, that kind of thing. And so like this office that I'm in right now, this was actually part of the outdoor area before. I just, you can see, I just put windows.
Closed it in. Yeah. And so now you know, your kids are there, you're there. From an income perspective, what was your income, like percentage-wise, how has it changed from when you were, maybe 2020 is not a great example because it was a time when you had, like you said, 3 or 4 times the amount of income that you had in previous years. But like, how has the amount of income come down As an example, like, are you at 25% of the income that you were before, or
Probably.
50%?
Now, the
About.
difference is, like, so I'm paying for kids' schooling now.
Okay.
It's not that bad. It's about $1,000 a month.
Okay.
And so,
Canadian
no,
dollars?
USD.
Okay,
I've
about a
just
thousand
stopped.
USD.
I've completely stopped saying anything in
Okay,
CAD.
so for everybody going forward, we're just talking US dollars, okay? Okay, so $1,000 for your kids' schooling.
But the house is like there's no mortgage on the house,
Okay, so no mortgage
right?
on the house.
Right.
Okay.
So I
What about
mean,
like property taxes and insurance and utilities?
I would say my electricity bill is like $400 a month, so it's kind of high.
Oh, okay.
You
Right.
know, it's having the air conditioners running all the time. So you got these split unit air conditioners in all the rooms,
Right.
so the majority of the time they're on.
What about property taxes?
So property tax, Quentin, you're asking me questions. Like you're asking a guy questions who literally, like people ask me, what's the gas price? I'm like, I don't know. What do you pay for this? I don't know. Like
All
I
right,
don't know. I don't know
we got to
any of
get
this stuff.
so we got to get Jen on the call then and get her to tell us. But so like
So
ball
property taxes are like $700 a year.
a year. Okay. So let me ask you like a ballpark figure then. So like if you were to look at property taxes, utilities, insurance, all of that sort of stuff, put it all together in a number. Like what are you looking at?
Probably 1,000
Okay.
for all the expenses,
Okay. So about $1,000 for all your expenses, telephone, all of that sort of stuff, right? Everything in that. Okay.
Phones are cheap. So my internet, I do know that. My internet is like $50 a month. It's good internet too.
All right. So if you were back in Canada and you had all of those expenses, compare that number. Like, what would that number
Oh,
be?
it
How
would be
much would it,
huge.
like,
But
what?
my phone was what? My phone was like $150 or $200 a month, wasn't
So
it? What's your phone cost?
I have to ask my bookkeeper. I have no idea. So, but let's say you had like your $1,000 in Costa Rica. What would that equivalent number ballpark be in back in Canada? Like, would it
What would I
be
need to cover my expenses?
the same expenses?
But I got to pay mortgage.
Okay,
I'm
without the mortgage.
making a
Oh,
real
no.
exciting
I'm putting you
podcast.
on the spot, but I mean, like,
Yeah,
your
I honestly don't know. I
would it
don't
be like
know.
three times? Like, okay, so
Probably.
your property taxes would have been like what, $500 per month, Canadian, right?
Right, because the property tax is like $4,500 or $5,000. Maybe I think actually it was like $5,500 for my property
Yeah, so
tax.
close to six, so about close to 500. Your insurance is probably about 100. Your utilities are probably about 300. Your phone was about 150, like you
You know, you don't
said.
need car insurance here. I have car insurance. You're not
Yeah,
required to get it.
what would you? Yeah, you don't know what the car insurance was back home, right? So
About 100. I think it's about 100.
around
Maybe
100 for.
85. I think 85, 90, something like
All
that.
right, so we say another 100, and then you have your gas, the whatever, like the, I'm it sounds like it's almost 2,000 a month, not including your mortgage, right? So it's
It's
probably,
less here for sure.
so it sounds like almost half
But I
then.
think that the big thing is not having the mortgage, obviously,
Okay,
right?
right, yeah, because you've downsized and you don't have a mortgage, but a lot of people could do that. But it sounds like even your general cost of living is about 50% of
Yeah.
what it
Now, I will
is.
say like I've had we've had to curb our lifestyle too a lot because like I love to go out to eat, right? When we first got here and before, like in Canada, we went out to eat all the time. Like I'd say 4 or 5 times a week.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
Yeah.
so and that transitioned to here too. So when we first got here, we were going out 4 or 5 times a week, maybe even more sometimes. And that can really make the money disappear quickly.
Yeah,
So
that's crazy. I
now we
even,
go out 1 or 2 times a week.
and that's typically to what we do here. Like we'll go out once or twice a week. But that's it. 4 or 5 times a week is quite a bit. So that's interesting. Okay. So It sounds like your expenses went down too because you've cut back as well. But
Definitely. And I mean, I got no car payments because the cars are, both bought outright.
right. Okay. So now you're down there, you're earning income from your real estate profession down there. You still have your rental properties up here. What happened over the last couple of years with your rental properties up here?
Well, they definitely started to not perform as well as they did originally, or
From a
not
cash flow
originally, but at the
perspective,
beginning. Yeah,
right?
absolutely.
Because of
So
interest rates.
I would say in some cases they weren't even covering themselves, right? Because
Okay.
of the interest rates.
Okay, so what did you do? So you have 10 properties at the beginning of,
The
let's
funny thing
say.
was, through all of COVID, I never had one tenant not pay. Not
Right.
one. They all paid on time every month, which is not the same story as I'm hearing from a lot of people, especially with the student rentals. I
Yeah.
had zero problem
Okay.
until last year. One of my tenants at the student rental property, one of them, stopped paying, and it became a real big problem. And it ended up, just because of that one room, we weren't able to cover. And so that went on and on and on until finally we ended up selling the property. So that was like so. I've sold a couple others too, and it was very similar. Like, they were mostly covering themselves, but there wasn't really any income from them. And it seemed like a good time. Like, I made pretty good amounts of money off of the sales of these places.
So how many did you end up selling?
Three.
Okay.
Sold
So
two.
you still have seven properties, but you sold three of them.
Yeah.
And you get a big capital influx, and you have to share that with your partners because you
Of
bought them
course,
with partners.
right.
But how much do you think, if you don't mind sharing, like how much do you think you were able to extract from even from partnering 50% with people? Like how much were you able to take back and then recapitalize into your life's or your investments.
Well, I'll talk in CAD for this one, but I would say we probably got close to 300 from the three, just
Okay.
ourselves.
And then what did you end up doing with that 300 when you brought it down to Costa? I'm assuming you brought it down to Costa Rica.
Not all of it. A lot of it's still there,
Okay.
but what we did bring down was that what we like. So a partner and I built a container house here,
Yeah.
and I put my capital into that as well. I did pretty well on the sale of it too, so.
Okay. So you're able to use that capital down there to do a contain you're part of your container build, right? But what else? So what have you been doing then down in Costa Rica? You're down there now, you've sold some properties, you have some capital, you bring it down to Costa Rica, and now you're the real estate investor of Potera in Costa Rica. Is that what happened? What's going on?
Well, I would say somewhat, but again, like, for me, it's about lifestyle freedom. And so I could be, I think, more busy if I wanted to be. I could definitely be more busy. I'm trying to just stay at the point where I'm at. I'm pretty good. Like, I'm doing a decent amount of sales as an agent. So again, the container house build took a lot longer than you would think it would, right? From getting from closing on the property, getting the permits, getting the place built and sold, that took 2 years,
Okay.
And again, my wife, she likes to take things slow too. So I kind of gotta take a cue from her, on things as well. We ended up earlier this spring buying the hotel. So I found a fantastic deal it was a 9-room hotel.
Okay.
Well, it's actually a 10-room hotel. But what we did was, and this guy, like, he wasn't running it really like a hotel. He wasn't advertising it. There's no reception area
Was he a
or
local or like
no, he's a guy from France. He owned it. He lived in one of the units, and he would basically just, if someone heard of it somehow and got in touch with them, then he had just lock boxes on the doors so they could come in and just go in the room The rooms were very plain, not really much to them. They all have kitchens though.
Okay.
Which is interesting, but we ended up being able to get that for a good price, and we've turned it around. Like, I haven't put that much money into it, but we've ended up turning it around quite a bit. We took, funny thing was, Quentin, when we first bought it, there was a two-bedroom apartment in the middle of the hotel, and the owner wasn't living in there. He was renting it for $500 a month.
Right. Okay.
So what we've done is we've turned that into a reception area, and there's a restaurant. The restaurant, actually, we're renting out, and it just opened 2 days ago.
Right. And what are you renting the restaurant for?
How much?
Yeah.
$450.
Okay. So that's a...
Plus 2% of their sales.
Ah, okay. Is the 2% lucrative or not really? Well, you don't know yet, I guess.
I don't know. All I did was just based it off of the fact that, you know, I've heard maybe 3% is kind of like the going rate.
So you gave them a deal so that you could get them going.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I want whoever's in there to be successful too. And the rent's a little bit low as well.
Right.
I think a little bit.
Yeah, but once they're established, then you could always increase it a little bit and change that. How long is your contract for with the commercial tenant?
It's just that, like...
A year or...
So we don't even have anything on paper yet.
Well, this must be a Costa Rica thing because I would never do that.
Yeah.
You should always have something on paper. But okay, so $450... Well, a month plus 2%.
Listen, I've adapted to the way things are here. My lawyer says that he's doing it, but you know, it gets here when it gets here.
Yikes. You know? Yeah, I remember I tried to send you a book and never got there. Like,
no.
Costa Rica. Okay.
Like, just on a side note, when there's issues, they can take a very, very long time to get them resolved here. Like, and one of the things that we see, I would say the most often of the issues when people are purchasing something is property lines not being in the right spot, right? Oh. You from old surveys overlapping with new surveys and the lines aren't correct, right? So there's a discrepancy, and getting that fixed, sometimes it's easy, you know? So I tell people, like, let's not shy away from it. It happens all the time. And sometimes it's fixed easily and sometimes it's not. So I've got a particular client that's been waiting for over a year for property line issues to be resolved.
Yikes.
And some of them are like a month.
Okay.
All but right. It's so weird because I, like, ask me what the difference is between them and I don't know.
So I'm mañana, right? Tomorrow, or is that?
No, it's
in
usually
the morning?
2 weeks. That's the story.
Oh,
it's always
in 2 weeks.
Don't worry, it'll be ready in 2 weeks. And then 2 months later, it's still 2 weeks. And then, you know.
Yeah, that's a typical South American type of Central American,
you
whatever.
You really have to have grit to just understand that the culture is not the same. And the way that things are done is not the same. Right? And you just have to accept that.
Okay, so you've changed your mindset in order to be able to be there and adapt to the culture, because you're coming from a different culture and you're adapting to the culture that's there. Now, you have this Manta Ray Lodge, this 9-bed property. You've converted 2 bedrooms into a restaurant and a reception area.
Yeah.
And what did you do with the other 9 units?
So our caretaker's in one of them. So one of the rooms actually didn't have a bathroom attached to it. You had to come outside of the room and go downstairs and use the bathroom. So
that's your caretaker one now?
Yeah. So he took that one. Luckily enough, he's fine with it.
And then the other eight units?
are just rental. Yeah, they're rental rooms. So we've got 6 rooms that have 2 queen beds and 2 rooms that have 1 king bed.
Okay, so these are for singles then, right? And then, so how have you been?
The rooms with 2 queen beds are family rooms.
Oh, 2 queens and 2 kings?
6 rooms that each have 2 queen beds, and then 2 rooms have just 1 king bed.
Okay, so 2 singles, or couples maybe.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so I know you've had lots of experience now with this hotel, how has it been going since you purchased it? What challenges have you had, and how have you overcome those challenges?
A
So
bunch of challenges.
first off, how did you bought it by a VTB? What were some of the terms?
Look, the guy wanted $48,000. So we gave him $48,000. He held the rest.
How much is the rest?
We
You
bought it
gave
for
him 48K,
$500,000 was the purchase
500,000
price.
for the purchase price. Okay. And you
Yeah.
gave him 48 because that's what he wanted, and he carried back the rest.
Yeah.
What did he carry it back at? The 452.
Or what we agreed on is two payments of 24,000 a year, and half of that goes towards pay down.
Ah, okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
So
And
you
so he'll and we can hold that for 5 years.
5 years. So in 5 years,
So
you pay down about 125K off
yeah,
of the,
exactly.
and
And
then you
now here's
concur.
another thing. So his lawyer, he wrote the contract wrong. He wrote that all of our payments were going towards pay down.
Oh,
That's
okay.
how they wrote it up. Now, see, well, we also have a purchase and sale agreement which says it differently. But the way
Right.
that his lawyer wrote it up was that all the money goes towards pay down.
Right. Okay, but you've already agreed. I'm not gonna
Yeah.
we won't go down the path of what you decide. Maybe that's
What do you
something.
mean? I'm not, I would, I could never do that. I could
Okay.
never even consider doing that.
All right.
But especially when, I mean, look, we've got a something that we agreed on. Purchase and sale agreement is there, and then the
Right.
lawyers have
And
their hands
your
up.
interest
I just think it's
cost
funny
is
that it was written that way.
but your interest cost is very low on this property. It's like when you look at it, 24,000 a year. So if you have $452,000 to start, right, and 12,000, you're talking about an interest payment, an interest cost of about 2.6%,
Yeah, it's pretty
right?
good.
Pretty
I think
good.
it's good.
Are you kidding me? That's amazing.
You know,
Okay.
Quentin, like the there's always the possibility that it's not gonna like make enough money to cover those payments. So, you know, it's
Right.
pretty stressful too, you know?
Well, okay. So talk about it. What makes it stressful for you as the active partner in this deal?
Well, of course, you always want to do good for your partners.
Okay.
That's the biggest, the number one thing. And then, of course, the second one is not being able to cover those payments. So if you can't cover the payments,
So what's been
we gotta,
happening then? So have
well, we
you been
haven't come to
renting the
one yet.
rooms?
We
What's
haven't come to
that?
one yet. We haven't come to a payment period yet.
Okay, so, but that means that you have to make income.
We
So
set the
how?
first one way out. The first one was like a year. The first payment wasn't due for another for a year.
Okay, so the first payment is due like in spring
It's
2025
due in
then.
June.
In June 2025.
Yeah.
2025. Okay. So you have basically first year free. Your first year there's no payments.
Yeah.
That's again, I can see why you can say it's a unicorn. Okay. So what have you done up to this point? Because you've done all the renovations. I'm assuming you're reinvesting all the capital back into the
So,
units. What have you done to the units?
okay, so first of all, what happened was when we were in our due diligence period for the hotel, we found out we had a budget. We had a very small budget to work with. We decided on 50,000 for renovations.
Okay.
Okay, so I thought that we could get a lot done with that. I was happy with that amount. I'm pretty good at making a dollar stretch, right? But when we were in the due diligence process, it turns out that the hotel was built without any permits whatsoever.
Right.
So the solution for that is you just pay them and they give you your permits.
Okay.
So that cost 16 grand.
Okay.
So right there, that came out of our renovation budget.
So you didn't go back to the seller to do that. You had to come up with the funds.
Oh
Okay.
yeah. No, I
Okay.
wouldn't have, there's no way that would have went through with him.
Okay. So you got that done now, and now
Yeah.
you're legal.
So we have the old permits from the hotel, but we've been in process to get new operation permits for
Right.
ours since we took over it in March. And so I'm still
Okay.
waiting on those. We got permits to run the restaurant. It took 6 months, but we got those. We still don't have operations permits.
So
they're in process. So I have,
they're in process, but it doesn't mean that you can't rent them out, right?
I am renting them out.
Technically you can't, but this is Costa Rica, right? So,
well, the thing is, like, we've got our insurance for the hotel, right?
Perfect.
We've got, and it's in process. So how do you run a business when, like I said, we've been waiting on certain things for over a year.
Yeah. So you just,
I tried to do, like, when we were doing the container house, I had a big lot. So I was trying to segregate it and sell them separately. Over a year later, the segregation still wasn't done. So I just sold it all together.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like you got to adapt. You have to learn how to, you know, overcome the issues and not get stuck. And again, like in Ontario, I would start work on basement apartments with permits in process too.
Yeah. Well, it becomes a bit of a challenge, right?
Yeah.
For sure. When with all the government bureaucracy, but it sounds like that bureaucracy is even longer.
I don't know if it's that. I honestly, I can't say what it is. But you don't have access to the municipalities.
Right. You're not paying off the right people, in other words.
Trust me, I've asked if I can just pay to get stuff done. And apparently I don't know the right people or I'm not doing it the right way, but it doesn't work.
Okay. Well, so over the last 6 months, let's say it took you a couple months to renovate and get things. How long did it take you to do the renovation, actually?
It was a couple months.
Okay,
we didn't do a whole lot. Like, everything got paint. We freshened up. A lot of the electrical needed to be worked on. The lighting needed to be fixed. A lot of cosmetic things needed to be upgraded as well. Like, we had to buy, you know, all new linens and for all the rooms and, you know, all that stuff.
Okay. So what are you renting those units out for now? So you have the queen rooms?
Yeah, I just kept them the same, $75 a night for two adults. If they want to keep another adult in the queen room, then we're doing, what was it? I think $15.
Okay, and what about the king room?
Same thing, $75, but it's a two-person limit.
And then how have you been? I guess you've had some issues at the beginning. I remember you telling me some stories about you had hired somebody to run the hotel.
We did. We hired a manager. So somebody that I was acquaintances with.
Yeah.
So I thought it was a great idea. Someone I was acquaintances with came up to me and said, "Hey, you know, I know you know me from this place, but now I'm doing remote managing for people. You know, that may not like know the ins and outs of the permitting and all that kind of stuff and hiring employees." And I thought, this is great. I'm going to hire this guy and he's going to help us through it all. And it was a fraction of the price of hiring someone full time to do that job. Right. Cause he said, "I'll go there twice a week. I'll take care of things in the background. I'll make sure you get everything, like all the
rented, you know,
all of the employees have to be in the insurance, you know, CCSS." And so I was like, perfect. Since I don't know how to do any of this, we'll hire you on. Well, what ended up happening anyway is, and we caught on pretty quickly. We have our caretaker there, but what would happen is people would come to spend like to take the rooms, and he would just assume that they've already paid. You know, it's not his job to ask people, you know, if they've paid. So anyway, the manager would call up and tell them, "Hey, I've got some people coming." And he wouldn't tell me, you know, and they would just end up transferring the money to him.
Oh, so he was keeping everything.
Yeah. And he started the booking.com and Expedia accounts in his name.
Oh, so he was getting everything into his bank account.
Right, yeah. Right. And again, like, it wasn't a huge amount of traction. Like, as far as I can tell, there was maybe a dozen times that happened without me knowing that there was people there. But still, obviously, you can't have someone like that working for you. So as soon as we figured it out, we cut that off. I eventually got him to give me the logins for the booking. But this was like right before, kind of while figuring all this out, and there was a bunch of stuff in there, but I had to just cancel it all because I had to make sure that he didn't have access to it. So
right.
unfortunately, we lost some bookings that were already in there. These are things like I didn't ask him to do that. You know, he just took it upon himself to do those things.
Okay. So, I mean, you mean setting up booking.com and
yeah,
all of that.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. So now you got rid of him. You're
yeah. So I did it all myself.
Okay,
so
now
I went,
you now
I
you're
built the
the
website.
Okay.
Myself, I put all the something called Hotel Runner, and it links to Airbnb and it links to Booking. So that made everything pretty easy, but I'm running it myself now.
And what's the URL?
MantaRayLodgeCR.com.
MantaRayLodgeCR. Okay, good. And what have you learned now with, you know, renting it out? Like, are you like, what's your, I guess you're now you're going to get into busy season.
Yeah.
So what are you doing to kind of promote it? What's your, the
well,
amount of people that are renting?
We are fully booked over Christmas and New Year's.
Okay.
So I think it is like as of the 25th over Christmas and New Year's, we're fully booked. And then there's like, and there's a bunch of, you know, reservations in and around there and before and after it and whatnot. But we're, those are the only times that we're fully booked. You know, like, I mean, Quentin, you're just honestly like learning lessons every day.
Yeah.
Right. It's like, so the washing machine broke. So I got to get it like yesterday. So I've got to get another one out there like right away. Or else we're going to run out of sheets, you know, just all this kind of stuff.
Okay. So you're booked over Christmas and New Year's. And then like, how are you,
promoting it?
Yeah. How are you promoting it first? What are you doing to promote it?
I've just got Facebook ads. I actually just put the Facebook ads out yesterday.
Okay. What sites are is it on? Booking.com?
The ads are just on Facebook. Like I put out ads yesterday.
Oh. Okay, paid ads.
Yeah.
Okay. And then what about like, what sites are you putting the Manta Ray Lodge on, like to be able to get people to book it?
It's on Airbnb. So I just put three individual rooms on Airbnb. So I've got two ads for the queen rooms, for family
right.
rooms, and
right.
one for the king room. But
right.
if someone books the king room and then and someone else wants a king room, we can still do that. It's just easier to manage three pages instead of.
So you've been able to do that. Do you connect like Airbnb with a system so that it manages booking and Airbnb?
Yeah.
And what's the
yeah.
system called?
It's called Hotel Runner.
That's Hotel Runner. Okay.
Yeah.
And that makes sure that you're not double booking or anything
yeah,
like that.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay. And does it tell you what your like vacancy rate is like
yeah.
per month?
It's pretty good. Yeah. Yeah. It's got a really good calendar system on there. It shows everything.
Okay. And I guess you really haven't had, you just really started renting out the whole thing. So you don't have an average
really,
month,
it's only
income.
Been like a month, you know,
so
a month of being open.
All right. So how much do you think you're making in your first month? What do you think you made? Like bulk?
I don't know. 5,000 maybe.
5,000. Okay. Okay. So 5,000. And then what are your expenses? How much do you think your expenses bulk are?
See, if you gave me time to see Quentin, I thought we were interviewing a guest today. And when we get on here, Quentin goes, no, I'm just going to ask you about this. I don't know, man. If you had to let me prepare, I could have had it ready.
Sorry, we don't
I would
do that
say,
here.
Okay. Well, we've got two electrical bills, and one of them's usually around 200. The other one's usually around 300. So the electricity is probably I'd say 600 probably for electricity
okay.
for the month. Water is around 50.
Okay. And then what about like your employee or the person that's staying there? Do you pay
so
them?
So the employees, we've got a cleaner. So the caretaker and his wife, they live there and they
yeah.
look after everything. So he does all the maintenance and the pool. And
how much do you think you pay them?
Oh, I pay them 150. I pay him 150 a week, but he lives there too. So you've got the accommodations.
Right. So does that include the cleaner as well or no?
No, she gets 100 a week.
So that's about 1,000 then. Okay. So about 1,000. And then plus whatever advertising and other costs that you have,
Yeah,
like
the advertising is like
insurance.
$4 a day.
And then cleaning, like I guess cleaning products and all of that stuff. Like how much do
Oh,
you think?
100 at
Okay.
least.
All right. It seems like your expenses probably run about 2,000, 2,500 a month, something like that.
Yeah.
But that's based on the first month. But if you're doing 75 a night and you have the same for all 8 rooms, it's possible that you could rent out, if you rented out all 8 rooms per night, that's about $600 per night. If you were fully booked for a whole 30 days, that could get you about $18,000. Right. So the possibility is that you could get, if you were to fully book, particularly in high season, your goal is to try to book it out fully for the high season. When's high season?
It kind of starts right about now. I've seen this
Like
a little bit
December.
slower right now. I would say after Christmas, January,
Till
February, March.
to March, the end of March?
Yeah.
Okay. So you get
Like
you.
April's still kind of high season, but I'd say it like tapers out over April.
Right. So you're trying to get it fully booked out in these 3 or 4 months because then that's where you probably make most of your money.
Yeah. So the idea is to appeal to local families. Like we really want it to be a family hotel. So if we can appeal to local families, and what I mean by that is people that live in the city in San
Okay.
Jose to come on the weekends and stuff like that. That's what we're really trying to do.
Okay. But $75, is that 75 US a night? That would still
Yeah.
be for 2 people. Oh no, for 2 people it would be like 90. That's still pretty cheap, isn't that?
Oh, it's
For like
75 for two people.
so okay, 75 for 2 people and it's an extra $15 for a third.
Yeah.
Okay. So 75 for 2 people, is that like well priced for the area?
It's less than everybody else.
Interesting. And if
I would say we're only like $5 to $10 under some of the other ones around.
okay,
So I
and
wanted to make sure we were too. I'm trying
right.
to some exposure.
What about like if you're trying to get Canadians coming down and they wanted to come down for a week, they could book it for a week?
Of course.
Oh, okay, no problem. All right,
We'll
and
have
how?
somebody staying there for 3 weeks right now.
Oh, okay, great. So there's lots of that too. So you're really appealing to local families, but you don't mind if you had people who are listening to the podcast want to come down, visit
Of
Rob
course
down
not. More
there,
than welcome.
and maybe Rob will actually meet you in person and shake your hand. Well, let's
There
see
you
if
go.
we can if especially if you heard it on the podcast, make sure to let him know when you're down there. So he can come in and say hello. All
And
right.
bring back Quentin's $5 for every booking.
Well, you know what? It's very interesting to hear. Like the potential really is 18,000 a month. And if even if you could get like 80% of that for those, 4 months, that's really where you're going to make your money. This is probably where it counts the most now,
I
this
think we
next.
should be able to do that.
Yeah.
It's shaping up nicely. For the end of December and beginning of January, and even through mid-January right now, I would
Yeah.
say we're pretty solidly booked up until the maybe January 21st.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, right now,
Yeah.
and I think it'll keep coming in.
So really you need to like, are you also talking to people who are kind of, in that Airbnb space who kind of, maximize their like the value of the property? I remember we talked to Ashley and Spencer before and Drew Knox. There's a and Cameron, those were all people who were focused on the Airbnb type of space. One of the things I remember they did is they would have either themes to the rooms or they had like a mural or something like that where people could do some Instas.
Yeah.
Behind. Do you have anything like that?
No, not right now. I mean, I had some bigger plans. Again, I had to dial back because of different circumstances, different things. Like, we were planning on opening the restaurant ourselves. Well, we kind of toyed with the idea, but it's quite expensive, obviously, as you might guess, to open a hotel, a restaurant. So we decided to just rent the space. It's more my alley anyways. Like, I don't really have any business running a restaurant. I don't think my heart would be in it. So it's not really fair to everybody to take that on. I think that's the next step.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. And it's too bad, because like, if you had like an Insta right beside the restaurant, it would provide some people to probably go to the restaurant who are, you know, I don't know. Can you see it from the road or no?
What?
The restaurant.
Oh yeah.
Was there like a wall or something that you, that would have Insta potential right beside the rest?
Yeah.
That's not, and maybe they would want to have that if you could, if you could put it as a, you know, as an advertising kind of thing for them, right? They could advertise them, like, and they might know a local artist that could help to do that, right? Not, you know, that, that may be something that kind of appeals to maybe some locals as well, as, you know, people who are coming down. I think that, like, the hotel itself looks quite beautiful with a pool and everything. But anyways, I think that, you know, just from what we've learned from those,
those
podcasters,
that up,
tag us. Yeah. And like from the past, like that seems to be, and then the themed rooms, but I mean, that's something for the future, but you could always try one room to see how the theme rooms worked and, you know, maybe see if that actually gets you a higher rental rate than the other unthemed rooms, right? And then that way you might have like this one theme room, and maybe that theme room is $90 a night, whereas all the other ones are $75. But if you find that the $90 a night sells out faster than all the other ones, then all of a sudden you're like, well, maybe I should do a different theme in different rooms, right? And see how that rents out, right?
My goal right now is just to make that payment, that first payment. But yeah, absolutely. Like, there's all kinds of, like, we've got ideas. We've definitely got ideas of
like what
to do there. Well, I want to put in a slide at the pool. Like, cause again, we're trying to appeal to families. So I really wanted, and I got a quote on one of the, you know, it's like, it looks like natural rock with the slide that comes down.
Cool.
So, you know, that's something that we've wanted to do, but again, I've got to, like, we got to set things in priority sequence.
So first year, get it rented out in high season, get some money coming in, and then reinvest.
And it is for sale too, by the way. Anyone listening, we've got it up for sale.
So there's could they take over? Is the financing assumable?
We'd have to find out. I'm sure it'd be a conversation he would have.
Right. Okay. That's interesting. So there's some other things that could cap in here, and there's some ways to do some upside for some innovative real estate investors who is listening to the podcast. We've already talked a little, some ideas here. But you know, it was great chatting with you, Rob, about this. And you know, this has been
thanks for having me on, Quentin.
Yeah, no problem. I'm always happy. And you know what, for some reason I have this little bobblehead Rob, and he said,
does he like give you ideas, or like what does he do? Does he says, serve a purpose?
He shakes his head a lot. He's trying to, I'm actually,
he's a yes man.
Well, no, the nodding. I'm learning the nodding from him, because I'm actually heading to India for 3 weeks and at the end of January, just to do a little exploring and meet up with some relatives that I've never met in my life. I've never actually been to India. So it's a big kind of experience for me. And, you know, the head nodding is something that I don't know how to do yet.
Oh, you got it down? Look at that.
No. I don't have it right, because it means yes, it means no, it means watch out. There's a whole bunch to learn about the head nodding in India. So if anybody has some tips, reach out to us on the podcast and perhaps you can help us out. But I really wanted to thank you, Rob, for kind of sharing.
You mean going exposed?
Oh, yeah. and sharing that with us, because I think I think people just don't know what you're doing and how you kind of got to where you are. And it's so great, like, you have a beautiful wife, beautiful kids, and they're all down there with you, and you've made this huge change, and it's really amazing to see what you've done with it. And I think people have got a little bit of a sense of, the challenges that you've gone through and the changes that you've made in your
We
life.
didn't really get to a
Yeah.
lot of the challenges because there's a lot. Like people, I think I brought this up before, but I remember someone that I know on Facebook saying, I lived in Costa Rica for 4 months a little while back, and now I'm going back. I'm like, you didn't live here, man. You didn't buy a house. You didn't buy a car. You didn't put your kids in school. You didn't have to try and find where to buy anything, really. Like it's not the same, but there's a lot of things to overcome, a lot of
Wow.
obstacles.
That's going to be another podcast then. We're going to have to connect it, and we'll connect that up with Rob, and we'll do another podcast. So,
Oh, it's been fun.
thanks, Rob, for sharing. And oh, and if you want to get a hold of me, you can visit, if you want to do a 15-minute call, you can talk about real estate at quintindesouza.com. We have great real estate events. Every month, you can check out durhamrei.ca. And how did they get a hold of you, Rob?
MantaRayLodgeCR.com. That's the website for the hotel. And you can reach me at rob@mrbreakthrough.ca. We can talk about anything, ask me questions about anything you think I might know about. And that would be great.
Awesome. Thanks for this, Rob.
Thank you. Bye.
Okay, bye-bye.